Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Bottoms up and L's down.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
I've been a season ticket holder at UK for 26 years.
And James Strebel.
Those are inflated fake numbers because you played bums all season.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Louisville fans, man, you didn't play anybody. You bums sat there with the all-clown conference and tried to pretend that you had a better schedule, and I just proved it, and there was ESPN strength the schedule. Arkansas number one. Eat it.
All right, one more hour to go. We'll get you into your Wednesday night. A fun night. Thanksgiving tomorrow. It is The Take on ESPN 680, 105.7, ESPNLouisville.com, and the ESPN Louisville app. As always, reminder, the 5 o'clock hour presented by Cox's Spirit Shops and Evergreen Liquors. You need something for tonight. Obviously, Thanksgiving, Black Friday, the weekend, tailgates, watch parties, whatever it may be. The Cards and the Cats, they got you covered there with all the beer, wine, spirits, premium cigars, and they're delivering right now online, CoxesLouisville.com. Now, before we get Rick Bozich on, what has happened in this UConn-Auburn game? UConn was up 5.
Yeah.
I look down. I look up. Auburn's tied the game with 3 seconds to go.
I mean,
what a wild! We're going to double OT here.
It's been a really entertaining game. It doesn't feel like UConn wants to win very much. Like they could have put them away multiple times. So
looks
there
like
you
Bruce
go.
Pearl's got something for Cal. I like this team.
He doesn't like
Jack.
It.
I like this team.
Cal.
I like what's going
I'm
on
not
here.
Worried about
this guy's
Bruce.
Good. Bruce Pearl's got it going.
His Walker Kessler.
19 different show causes. Yeah. Oh, you would have loved. You need Walker Kessler.
He's the exact he'd be kind a of good play. Backup. He's
yeah, sure,
he'd
but he's the exact
backup.
Kind no, of guy you need.
You're not wrong here.
Well, thank
I
you.
Agree with that. Yeah, he would be a good backup. He's on the bench right now. That's where he'd be with Sheboy.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Rick Bozich joins us. He's probably watching this game. He's from WDRB. Usually joins us on Thursdays, but obviously with Thanksgiving, we talk today. Rick, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good, guys. No, I'm not watching it because I had some other things to do, but I heard it's tied in overtime or something.
Yep, 95-95. They're going to double overtime. UConn got a good look, and it was right on. It was just a couple inches short. So 95 all, we go to overtime there in the battle for Atlantis. This is just the quarterfinal between UConn and Auburn. So some pretty good stuff there as well. Are you ready for Thanksgiving? You say you're doing other things. You're not like running to Kroger or anything, right? Like you did all that. You're good to go for tonight and tomorrow, right?
I still have to go tonight, man. So wish me luck.
Rick.
I have to go. I have a bunch of other stuff to do today. I know.
Rick.
Scary.
Oh.
I know. Good luck, Rick.
I know.
Good luck and God bless.
Yes, sir.
Who cares about good luck? We need to get deity involved.
Yeah, we need blessings on Rick Bozich.
We need blessings on Rick Bozich tonight.
Oh, he's going to brave it out there.
When you shop, do you go ear pods in or do you not? Do you just go regular old person?
EarPods, mask, yeah, hat.
There you go.
So you're like undercover then.
Like, leave me alone.
Yeah, you're completely completely undercover. Well, how are angry fans going to notice you? I mean, what are we doing here, Rick? You hiding
from
somebody?
Know. They know.
It's all White Sox gear. Rick Bozich joins us, WDRB at Rick Bozich. You picked this game to be 38-35. You picked Kentucky to win. Let's just start here. How and why do you get to that score?
I think both teams are more offensive-minded than defensive-minded. I think that Kentucky is just a little bit more talented. We talked about this last week, and I wrote about it yesterday. I'm still a little bit puzzled that Louisville started out as a two-point favorite, has now moved it. I haven't checked today, but as of yesterday afternoon, moved to a three-point favorite. I think Kentucky's better on the offensive line and better on the defensive line. And although Malik Cunningham's been phenomenal the last few weeks, he'll be playing against a better defense this week, so I'm not sure he'll be able to put up the kind of numbers he has the last 2 weeks.
Rick Bozich with us. Yeah, so you think it's 38-35. How much do you believe in the U of L resurgence here lately against Syracuse and Duke? I mean, obviously you think it means something. They score 35 and it looks like a close game. Should we buy into that? That's a piece of this game that I don't know how to analyze, to be quite honest.
I believe in what they did against Syracuse. I mean, Duke was horrible. And, you know, that was more than like 28 people at that game. I mean, it was, I don't know how much you can take from that game. But I believe in what they did against Syracuse. And really, I mean, they've been a fairly consistent team all year, although they've lost five games. They didn't really ever, other than the first half against Ole Miss, have they really been blown out in any part of any game? I don't think they have been. So they're good enough to beat Kentucky. It's more a matter to me of how well does Kentucky play. Do they not turn the ball over? Because right. Levis is usually good for one bad interception a game.
Well, C-Rod, too.
And does Rodriguez not fumble the ball? I mean, I haven't checked the stats recently, but the last time I did, their turnover margin was one of the worst in the country. And if they come in here and turn the ball over, they can get beat.
Rick Bozich with us here on The Take on a, I almost said a Friday. It's not a Friday. It's a Wednesday. It feels like a Friday. I am fascinated. Whoever wins, we know what the elation is going to be, thrusting them into the offseason, the bowl season, and much more. So unfortunately or fortunately, the reaction on whoever loses is more interesting. Are you more interested in Louisville or Kentucky coming off a loss? Which is the more interesting local story on the losing side?
Kentucky. If Kentucky would lose,
I
go
agree.
From 6-0 to 8-4, and, you know, the only two teams they beat the back half of the season would be Vanderbilt and New Mexico State. That's pretty dismal. That's about as bad as they could have performed over the last six games if they do that. So, I mean, Louisville hadn't beat them the last two times they played and gotten blown out. If they get blown out again, I'd say it would be Louisville. But if it's just the kind of game to be close and Louisville wins, Kentucky losing is the better storyline that would deserve further examination of what happened to this team after the 6-0 start.
If Louisville loses the game, I do think a storyline to all of this will be this was Satterfield's chance to get so much of the fan base that is either, you know, unhappy with the South Carolina stuff, unhappy with the performance. There's a group in the middle. There's a group that are just not buying in. You would get some of those people. I think you would get a healthy percentage, Rick, of those people to buy in. If he loses, I feel like the last, you know, 3-4 weeks is going to kind of get erased to some extent.
If he wins, what they've achieved the last 3 or 4 weeks will be erased?
I think so, for sure. I mean, right now he has a chance, Rick, there is a part of this fan base, a nice size, that is just not sold and just doesn't like him, right? But when he wins, it cools down the Jeff Brohm stuff. It cools down everything. If you win this game, and then we can talk about a bowl game, when Kentucky was supposed to talk, you know, they're talking all offseason how big and bad they were, it would be a real big get, a real big win for U of L that I think a lot of fans would be willing to go, okay, here's a second chance I'm giving Satterfield.
Yeah, I agree. I think he'd have to follow it up and win the bowl game, but as we talked about last week, they had a chance to really determine the narrative of their season if they could beat Syracuse, beat Duke, beat Kentucky, and then win the bowl game and then go, 8-5? That's better than I would say almost everybody predicted before the season, and with really only one bad loss, the first game to Ole Miss, which is a top 12, top 13 in the country. They pretty much did everything they were supposed to do. So if he's going to be, and I don't think people like dislike him, I just don't think they're motivated or energized or excited about the direction of the program. And you can fold in, I think for some people, even the recruiting element to it, where they look at the recruiting and say, I don't see where it's heading in the right direction to get better, you know, the next couple of seasons.
What is the biggest question mark for you in this game? I'm just shooting off generic questions that we've been things that we've been talking about. And by the way, while we've been talking, UConn now a big run. They lead 109-100 with 55 seconds to play. So it looks like UConn's going to beat Auburn just by running away here in this second overtime. What's the biggest question mark for you, do you think?
Well, I mean, the one question mark I want to see is what kind of crowd is it going to be? Is it going to be full? And what kind of breakdown is it going to be between Louisville and Kentucky fans to see who's at? It's going to be a cold night. I think there's at least a chance of rain. And I'm going to see, you know, which fan base is going to show up and be and looks excited about its team. That's one thing. And the other thing would be, you know, can Louisville sustain some of the things they've obviously done over offense the last few. It hasn't just been Cunningham. It's been some of the younger receivers have gotten better. The running game has improved, even with Hassan Hall leaving. I think Jalen Mitchell's been good. So can Louisville keep that part being going?
How much, and Rick Bozich with this WDRB, I want to bring up a couple things you talked about today, including Bobby Petrino. It's always good to, when you can type his name in, Rick.
When in doubt, go to Bobby Petrino.
But there's been some tweets that hey, maybe someone like Akron could want Bobby Petrino, and you can insert any joke you want at that point. What is your read of Bruce Feldman, I mean, really pushing out there a lot of Mark Stoops and LSU, and I mean, we've talked a lot about that today. What do you make of Mark Stoops and other jobs, and what do you make of that being a storyline a couple days before what ultimately is the biggest game of the season?
I would be surprised if Mark Stoops was the pick at LSU, not because he's not a good coach, because I think he is a good coach, but considering the reputation that Woodward, their AD, has for really swinging for the fences and bringing in a big game, big name, I don't think that's going to excite people at LSU. And I culturally, I don't think it's a good fit. I mean, the LSU is an unusual place in terms of the whole football thing down there. And does Mark Stoops want to give up what he's got at Kentucky to go in the division and get his, you know, knock his head against Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher? I mean, that's a hard job. I mean, you can go 8-4, 9-3 there, and people are going to be
oh, it's a failure.
Angry.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it's a failure.
If it's like $9 or $10 million a year guaranteed for 7 years, then I say I can go in there, and if I fold, then I can find something else to do. But if he's looking to get out, and I don't know if he is or not, I mean, I think what he's looking for is more love from UK in terms of whether it's his own salary or whether it's for his assistants or other little trinkets that he needs and to build the program. But if looking for another place to go, I think there's a would be smarter choices career wise than LSU for him. Florida to me makes a lot more sense.
I'm with you. I just, the timing of this reeks of agent stuff, being involved. And then also, right. I mean, listen, LSU, I think, is the best job in the country. So, I mean, I don't know what the best radio job in the country is. I don't know. Afternoon host, morning host at WFAN in New York City, you know, places in Chicago, whatever the best thing is, you know, if they call you, it's kind of one of those things you got to listen. We had Pat Forty on the 4 o'clock hour. He thinks he's still B-list. Listen, I know Bruce Feldman has pushed some guys, and we see that all the time. I'm a little bit more convinced Stoops may want this. I don't think he's going to get this. I think you're right. Whether it be more money, the indoor practice facility that's been talked about a lot. Here's a theory I have, Rick, and we don't know. I wonder if in the middle of the season when Kentucky was 6-0, and even after that loss to Georgia, and then they got the bye week, if somewhere in a 3-4 week period, you know, there was some sort of contact with Mitch Barnhart of let's talk about redoing the deal, let's nail something down that we can announce on a practice facility and some of those things, and that didn't happen. And so right now, this would be the time that people are paying attention, would be the Governor's Cup week, which is why you do this. But Mitch Barnhart gives the football program anything they want. Right? He gives John Calipari whatever he wants. Like it just Mitch Barnhart seemingly gives these things up. I don't know if it's playing hard to get. That's just my theory on why you would do this, because if Mark Stoops said, I need $200,000 for Vince Merrill, I know you redid his deal last year. I need $150K for Liam Cohen.
Yeah.
I need $150K for Brad White. I need whatever. We're going to amend this contract, and I want an indoor practice facility. In the next 3 months, I feel like all of that would be announced at Kentucky.
What's making five? Is that what it is?
He's
close to five.
He's five. It can go over with obviously how they do. He's a top 15 highest paid coach in the country right now. And yes, I do think he will get a raise. Obviously, if he went to LSU, he would. But I think he will not be under the same contract next year. There will be an amended contract. And Mitch Barnhart's right. done that like three times with them.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Mitch Barnhart has elevated the football program in many different ways since he's been the athletic director, much of it at the demands or urging of Rich Brooks, and much of it because Mitch used to be at Tennessee and has been around the SEC and understands the importance of all those things in terms of the building of a program. So I think if within a reasonable amount, he would give or would work to give Mark Stoops everything he needs to be at Kentucky. I don't know. You know, Stoops is at that point now. What has he been here? He's second in the SEC in longevity. Was it 9 years?
It's 9 years. We're coming up on a decade. And, I mean, the conversation of how much more can he do here at LSU.
Right.
I mean, listen, Les Miles, not exactly geniuses, Les Miles and Ed Orgeron have won national titles there. I mean,
these
are Mensa members here. Yeah.
Right. No, you're right. But they've also been chewed up and spit out pretty quickly. I mean, and I can remember back before Saban, it was DiNardo, and who was the guy directly before Saban? I don't even remember. It's been that long ago. But I mean, they've gone through coaches pretty hot and heavy there, and that's the kind of place where you could get yourself in the hot seat the second year you're there.
Sure.
You've got to make the determination, you know, in your own mind of how much money, how much is a couple more million a year, the trade-off being, you know, a peace of mind and living your life the right way. Where at LSU, I mean, they're hyper-analyzing every recruit you sign. Like, why'd you take that guy? He's really only a three-star. Why aren't we getting this four-star, five-star? We lost this guy at Texas A&M, and is he really the right hire? I mean, I don't know if he wants to be in that kind of world. Maybe he does, but I don't know. I've gone back to it. And Feldman, I believe on Sunday, he mentioned Stoops first among his candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Too. I just think that for peace of mind, Florida is a better job than LSU. And I heard you say LSU is the best job in the country because of why? Because you're the only SEC job in the entire state where you have good high school football?
Yeah. I just think it's crazy. Now, listen, I'm with you that Florida would be a little bit less of a headache than LSU. I mean, but what Mark Stoops is going through, Rick, is what so many people, hell, you might have went through at some point in your career. It's you're going to give up, you know, things in your personal life, you're going to move to a different spot. You're going to have different standards. You're going to make more money. Maybe
right.
Living's not going to be as comfortable as it is now. But this is the new job, right? Like, I mean, you know, I'm sure with you and, you know, newspaper for years, you were dealing with that, right? Like, it's the balance of life and I think at LSU,
right.
If he went for 5 years, if you told me Mark Stoops made the college football playoff, I wouldn't be surprised, given that Ed Orgeron and Les Miles have made the college football playoff. And, I mean, Ed Orgeron's a beathead, Rick. I mean, so he's a real beathead.
And I don't know him well enough to know that in his own mind, is he the kind of guy that would look at it and say, you know, I've taken this about as far as I think I can take it or anybody can take it. Deep down inside, when he's honest with himself, can he tell himself that I can make this job at a point where I'm beating Georgia and I'm beating Florida when they get the right coach in there on a consistent basis? Maybe he believes he can do that. I mean, they're going to finish second in the SEC East this year, but
right.
I don't know. I don't know how he views it, because I don't think no matter what they do, I don't think Kentucky's going to be able to overtake Georgia. And if Florida gets the right coach in there, which they've had trouble with. They've had a bunch
Yes, they have.
I mean, they had Zook and they had McElwain and they had, was it Muschamp, was it
Muschamp,
there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
He was a mess.
I mean, they've, Meyer and Spurrier really are the only two who've gotten it done there for a long, long time. So, I don't know. I think, you know, I don't know the other guy, Woodward at LSU, but to me, I would think Strickland would be a pretty good guy to work with as the athletic director. So you're going into a place that's been down, and you can, I think you can get it up and going pretty quickly if Florida's interested in him.
Right. Right. Rick Bozich with us. You know, I almost forgot. I even write this down on my sheet here. We do have basketball that is, that is going on. Since the last time we had a conversation, Ty Washington is playing much better. I mean, Kentucky's played some bad competition. Ohio's not bad, and they've dominated that. Keon Brooks has been good. They've been able to play without Shibwe. You know, he had two fouls. Fouls. It's still worrying me that you play these bum games. So someone like Jacob Toppin can get comfortable. That's not happening. Kentucky looks a little better than maybe a week ago. Where do you make of where the Wildcats are?
I agree. I mean, they've got a lot of solid, very good, and even excellent pieces. And I'm like you. I disagree with the way that Cal scheduled his team. But my guess is that he decided after last year that I'm going to use these five or six games to figure out who my dudes are and get their confidence up, and then once they get into the Notre Dame, State, and Louisville and SEC play, then he'll be ready to go. But I like Washington. I like Grady. I like Shibwe. I like, you know, Toppin will be good. Mintz is good, really good off the bench. I mean, they've got the pieces to be a really good team. I'm not sold yet that they can be, you know, like a one seed, like what Gonzaga showed last night, what Purdue showed against Carolina and Villanova, and what Kansas appears to be. But I think they're at the top of the next group of teams.
Yeah, I'm looking at them at like a three seed right now for some reason. I don't know if that's fair, unfair. If they had one more big, I would be more sold, which is why I went for Kofi Coburn and Jalen Dern. Not even a guy that's that good, just like a quality big because, you know, we'll see with Lance Ware. I think we know what we got there.
Yeah.
And I think Shaedon Sharpe comes in, and I think we talk about him on the back end of that season in SEC play. I think he's going to play. I made this plea to Mike Pratt today. I'm like, if you're telling me Dante Allen's going to get like 8 minutes or something like that, then you sure as hell better believe that Shaedon Sharpe is. So I think that's going to happen. On the Louisville side, how worried are you? Should we be worried? I mean, I don't know what to say, but Chris Mack, it's survive in advance. They are surviving, but it's been rough. What do you make of where the Cards are as they go into the Bahamas without Chris Mack in a situation? They could lose a couple games if they don't show up.
Yeah, I would be worried. I was at the Detroit game. Detroit is okay. I mean, I think they're only picked to finish fifth or sixth in the Horizon League. It's just really Antoine Davis, like, got in the green light from his dad to take threes, and that was a tie game with a minute and a half to go at home. That's worrisome. And the next four games are all games that they could lose. Mississippi State is probably more talented than Louisville, than Maryland or Richmond. Michigan State up there, they're going to be an underdog. And then the next game after that is NC State on the road. That won't be easy. So we're going to find out over the next. They need to win at least two in the next four, in my opinion. And
I agree. You
know, we'll know more. Mac will be back, but if they come through this next, they need to get more out of Withers. I mean, Withers has had two games where he's done nothing. He's not rebounding, and he just doesn't. He looks sort of out of sorts in the way they're using him. And I know that they want to use him more on the perimeter. And Malik Williams isn't what he used to be. I mean, he's not moving the way he used to move, and they have to figure that out. And so that might take Mac coming back and have some real serious conversations with the coaching staff and the team. But like the way it's constructed now, it's not working right.
Rick Bozich with us. All right, last one, Jack. I don't know because we're at the home studio. Jack, are you back there? Do you want to ask One question on IU to Rick Bozich. This is your moment. Do you have a basketball item that's not Bashy Miller Cop?
No, we don't have the Bashy Miller Cop.
Okay. What item would you like to ask Rick Bozich about your Indiana Hoosiers? And this better be about basketball, not football. We're not talking Indiana-Purdue football.
Is it encouraging that they're beating the bums they're playing, or is it a wait-and-see mode to see what they do against Syracuse, Notre Dame, and the start of the Big Ten schedule they have in a couple weeks?
I do have questions about offense because they have had turnover problems. They're still missing free throws as they did last night. But I think the defense is better. Is it eighth in the country like it is in KenPom? Probably not. But they're playing. He's serious about making those dudes play defense. And I don't care how bad teams are. When Louisiana Lafayette missed 25 straight shots, and that team last night didn't score 20 points in the first half. So they are guarding, and they're better. And the Big Ten's down. So yeah. I would feel that Indiana is in position to have a better year for sure.
Is Wisconsin St. Mary's the worst final for the Maui Invitational that you can remember? I mean, no offense, you know, it's a good win, and it ensures if Wisconsin wins this that they can lose 12 games in the Big Ten and still be a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament. So we know that. Would you like to depart by crushing the Big Ten Network, Rick?
Yes,
you gave them hell for the volleyball match being on the other night. It was no. Noticed. Is there anything you would like to add to that?
They did this last year too, with like a soccer match.
It's
like, people, let's remember something, that schedule the games in a way that football and basketball are your big tickets and they start on time, and it's the other stuff that needs to be scheduled around that. So I won't say who it was, but I got a coach who texted me like, "You're coming on pretty strong against the Big Ten Network." I said, "Hey, you know, that would never happen. They would never delay a Kentucky basketball or do that to a Kentucky basketball game on the SEC Network. And they wouldn't do that on the Big Ten Network to Ohio State or Michigan football." So the game came out a half an hour after it started. They delayed the start by 10 minutes, and it was 20 minutes later before it came on. I mean, as I said, if Bob Knight was still the coach, he would have walked in the production truck, and he would have unplugged the feed from the volleyball match and plugged in the feed from the basketball match. That's what happened.
It did happen to Louisville a couple years ago. It was a soccer match.
Right.
It was their first game at Miami.
That's what it was two years ago.
That's what it was.
I remember, I think I tweeted it, and you retweeted me, or you tweeted it, and I retweeted you, and it was like, it was early in the ACC network. It was like, people aren't paying money for to watch a soccer match. They're paying money to watch Louisville basketball, so get it right.
Yeah, they went to some sort of extra time. Duke Wake Forest soccer. It was something like that. It was the first game of the year. Everyone's waiting to see U of L play, and they checked in at the 12-minute timeout of the first half. Exactly what it was 2 years ago, I believe. Well, Rick, have a good Thanksgiving, a happy Thanksgiving. Are you going to be out there on Saturday? You going to the Governor's Cup?
Sir.
What I figured.
I'll be there. Eric and I will both be there. Yeah,
that's what I figured. Yeah, I figured you guys would all be out there. So we may see you out there as well. Have a good weekend. Safe travels. We'll talk with you next week. Thank you so much.
All right, same to you guys. Bye-bye.
All right, there we go. Rick Bozich with us here on ESPN 680 1057. There you go.
How about that?
Well, Bozich on a Wednesday today. How about that?
That also reminded me of the time that we were earlier this summer when we were all watching the Louisville baseball game. They kicked that off.
We're at the bats.
Bally RSN.
Bally Sports dumped out for a strongman competition from 2016.
And they ended up ending their season. Ooh. That loss ended their season. They didn't go the playoffs or anything.
Nothing. I mean, you were on it today.
Oh, yeah.
You got anything for the final 30 minutes here?
Yeah, let's go. I'm ready to roll. Yeah.
L1C4 crossed enemy lines.
Yes.
We'll talk about it next.
Yeah.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Well, there's so much misinformation.
You
got to
have sleeper cells on both sides.
So much, I mean, fake news and like just total omission of data and all this other stuff.
Not that you ever do anything.
Why would I do that? No, I don't need to. I have the strength of schedule from Sagarin, and I can outline how much better the Louisville schedule was than the Kentucky schedule, even though Kentucky is in the SEC.
There you go. See, I'm not sure I can do it. Winter and this blanket
I'm
maker.
Just telling you.
And James Strebel.
That in Louisville are pointing to like these percentages and these numbers now. Those are inflated fake numbers because you played bums all season. You were able to put up good numbers against crap teams, and it's making you feel good like a security blanket. It's not a real thing. It's all built on a house of sand, and that's all it is. And it's going to get exposed on Saturday.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Yesterday,
the dichotomy.
We'll have all the Governor's Cup coverage on Saturday, pre- and post-game coverage right here on all ESPN Louisville stations. We're on the air on Friday. A quick reminder, we do have the Maui Invitational, Wisconsin St. Mary's. We'll probably pick that one up perfectly, Jack, at halftime.
Yeah,
looking at a game that they wanted to not have these two particular teams, yet here they are with these two uninteresting teams between St. Mary's and we only know St. Mary's from being the only win that people care about with Gonzaga.
That's
for
really
two and a half months.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin, we know them because they beat Indiana 3,300 times in a row. So there's that.
Yes.
Before we get into what happened in the Courier Journal.
Yeah.
Before we get into what happened with State of Louisville.
Oh yeah,
the blog
that
we love and they love us, but we gotta take him to task a little bit, okay?
Yeah,
I want to play for you what I contend to be the greatest sound in the history of sports talk radio.
Okay,
is that okay?
Yeah,
Jack, do you think I'm underselling this? Because Jack roared with laughter.
It's great.
Really? So when did this happen?
Yesterday. Okay.
Okay, I haven't heard this yet.
Cecil Hurt passed away.
Okay.
And he is do you know who that is?
I do not.
He is an Alabama writer. He wrote, for Alabama for years, for decades. He was seen as an authority. In fact, some of the coaches, and even Saban, like when he would ask them questions at SEC Media Days, they know him by name.
So is it, hey, Cecil,
So he got sick with pneumonia. He's only 62.
Oh, wow.
Not COVID, but went to the hospital like 2 weeks ago and never came out.
Oh, geez.
And so he passed away yesterday.
Okay.
And so obviously he went on Feinbaum's show. I mean, come on, him and Feinbaum know each other.
He's a big deal.
This is a legendary writer.
Yeah.
And so a clergyman called in and said a prayer. And then SEC happened, right, Jack? That's the best way to say
yes.
it.
No.
All right, so take a listen.
Oh,
take
God.
A listen.
Caught you by surprise, and Lord, we know that you're God and you have a plan and we trust it, but we just need you in the midst of it. So God, we just ask for these blessings and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor, thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so very much. We deeply appreciate that. Squirrel is up next. Hey, Squirrel.
What a great prayer.
Squirrel is up next. Hey, Squirrel.
Imagine having a prayer.
God gave a full eulogy. Feinbaum had nothing. He had nothing but to go to. He did.
did pause for a second and a half, but he had nothing to go to Squirrel. Like, the guy's got 32 lines. He could have went to Ben.
Anybody.
He could have went to Fred. Jimmy.
Yeah.
He could have went anybody. To Andrew. He could have went to any other name, but he picked Squirrel.
Squirrel is up next. Hey, Squirrel.
I need to hear it again.
The whole thing.
In full, Jack.
Yeah.
Now, I wish I could find this. We need to try to find this with the full prayer. We need to find this. I want to hear the full prayer.
Like the heartfelt.
Yeah, but, I mean, we pick it up mid-prayer.
Oh. Caught you by surprise. And, Lord, we know that you're God and you have a plan and we trust it. But we just need you in the midst of it. So, God, we just ask for these blessings and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor, thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so very much. We deeply appreciate that. Squirrel is up next. Hey, Squirrel.
What a great prayer.
Hey, Squirrel.
I don't know what's better. Okay, here's what I need, Jack.
Squirrel.
And then Squirrel sounds like exactly how you... That's a great prayer.
What a great prayer.
What a great prayer. I wouldn't have expected that. I thought he'd say, like, Roll Tide or, like, give an extra blessing for Nick Saban.
Be an Alabama fan and say we're going to beat the snot out of that.
Exactly, but I was not expecting next to Squirrel.
What a great prayer.
Okay, so here's what I want. Somewhere near the end of the prayer, now we need to listen. Listen to the pause here.
Yeah.
Feinbaum tries to classy it up a little bit.
He does.
But he knows there's nothing he can do here. And then he goes to Squirrel, and then the guy sounds like a
Squirrel.
Guy that would have the nickname of Squirrel.
Pastor, thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so very much. We deeply appreciate that. Squirrel is up next. Hey, Squirrel.
He gave you a second.
What a great prayer.
And Squirrel couldn't, like, he had to make sure that, he said Squirrel. He couldn't put his real name. He's like, I want to be called Squirrel today.
It's the greatest sound in the history of sports talk radio.
Really good.
It really is.
I thought it was going to be that guy. They called Feinbaum the one time saying he drank like 50 Budweisers or whatever.
He's like, I drank the bottom.
That was great. That guy.
Search Dropbox file. I'll suck the bottom out of a Bud Light.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be that guy again. I'm like, he's going to prep for the Iron Bowl.
Okay, while Jack finds that sound, our friends at State of Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about them.
I got to pull the tweet up.
I have it here.
Oh, you do? Okay.
They, at the State of Lou, right now their name is hashtag
BackSat.
BackSat. Hashtag Free Mac.
Guys.
Listen,
guys.
You can't stop. You can't stop.
No, you can't. You know, they're doing their thing.
What on an average summer night, a hot August night, which was a pretty good record many years ago, how many Bud Lights would you grab and throw down?
You're talking about football night, you know, like on Saturday night.
Well, whatever. You tell me.
Yeah, football night, man. That's when I knock them out. I know it sounds stupid. People go, well, you couldn't drink it. I don't give a rat's butt what they think. I knock out 24, 25 a football game pretty easy.
So 2 weeks from now, when Alabama plays Miami, start to finish, you could consume as many as 25 Bud Lights?
Sure, Paul. Come on, man.
Could somebody do the math for me? How many ounces are in a Bud Light? 12?
12 ounces.
Would somebody, 25 times 12. Does anybody have a calculator?
I went to Woodlawn. So
Larry, you're telling us game starts at 2:30, whatever time you go to bed. You will have consumed, is that right, 300, Mark? Is that right? 300 ounces of beer?
Yeah, so, man, you're only talking about...
Larry, I don't want to sound like a urologist here, but that's going to be a busy afternoon. That's going to be a busy night, is it not?
Yeah,
that's two and a half gallons of beer.
Oh, I love it, Paul. I sucked the bottom out of a 12-ounce Bud Light in a can. Woo! Ain't that fair, Jack? That's why I live.
300 ounces of beer. I mean, are you? Does it affect you at all when you have that? Do you eat? By the way, do you eat while you're drinking?
Affect you? No, it doesn't affect you.
Well, no, I might nibble on some chips or something. Nah, I don't, if you eat, you just bust your buzz, Jack. You don't want to do that. Why are you going to get a buzz and eat and tear it up?
Well, I mean, I maybe you because I'm just not a I don't drink well. So, I mean, if I just start drinking beer and haven't eaten, I'm going to get sick.
Oh, yeah. You're the kind that runs to the bathroom like Mark Smartwood.
Mark
That's
Kubiak?
Mark could do. He's a, yeah, a little smirky. Little sissy.
He's a sissy because he runs.
Give me no more beer.
I mean, Larry, if I drank 300 beers, I mean, you'd have to hook me up. I mean, there was.
You'd be hooked up. You had to pull your ass off the ceiling fan.
We will take a break. We're here to please you. We want you to learn as much as you can before the football season begins. 300 ounces of beer.
That's
but it's light beer,
right,
so it's not that caloric.
We need to get your dad to, like, record. We all need to record. I'll suck the bottom out of a 12-ounce
Bud Light. That's great.
Anyway, right, State of Blue, here's what they did.
Yep.
They have a picture of Taylor Swift in a room. We're looking through her window. It sounds like Locke's childhood.
Yes.
He leered through windows. And there's a photo of her holding a sign that says, a notepad that says, UK has played one ranked team all season.
Ugh.
Tough pill to swallow. Now, of course, I believe State of Lute has Clemson as a top 25 team. I don't think they were a top 25 team when they played Louisville.
Them. I'm not
and
sure.
Obviously, for instance, Florida was when they played Kentucky. So
sure. Florida
the first
was,
thing
yeah.
I would ask, are we using the same standards? I do not know. I do not care. So anyway, then they put...
This is the kill shot.
UK has played Georgia, the one team, top 25.
Yeah. And they omitted Mississippi State, but that's okay.
Yes. Well, yeah. They probably omitted two.
Yeah.
U of L, they played Ole Miss, Wake, Clemson and NC State.
Yeah.
And I'm sad they self-owned themselves.
They did because they lost every one of those damn games. They went 0-4.
That's the bragging this week is Louisville fans
Jesus.
Are doing the, hey, we lost good games.
And it's the saddest
and they're not
thing.
Even that good of games,
no,
but whatever.
Those aren't even like good like top 25 teams like you would boast about. Like, hey, you know what? We were respectable against this team or that team or whatever. And I'm sitting there, I read that this morning. And I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, you know, you're stacking wins against the weak SEC East. And I said, bruh, you stacked wins against EKU, Duke, UTM. Syracuse, Central Florida, Florida State, and Boston College. And then they tried to be like, you're stacking wins against bums. And they did the exact same thing. These clowns, again, self-awareness is not a strong point with L1C4.
They self-owned themselves this time.
They did. They self-owned themselves, and I was embarrassed for them. And they got owned by their own fans. They got owned by me. Kentucky fans, they faded away. Like, they couldn't even battle me. Normally, I'll respect State of Louisville because they'll battle me on things. They couldn't even do it. After, like, two tweets, they were done. It's like, again, I'll say the same thing I said the first half, the first part of the show. Not only was that a terrible attempt to do smack talk during rivalry week, Taylor Swift, why don't we use a Taylor Swift meme in football talk?
Why are you so worried about that?
That's the thing I don't understand. It's just like, this is football, man. There ain't nothing about Taylor Swift that says football.
She might like football.
I don't think she does. I mean, I don't know anything about her. She seems like a nice young lass, and she does very good writing number one hit songs. That's her wheelhouse. When I think football, I think Kirby Smart. I think Nick Saban. I think these big, tough, burly guys playing football. I don't think of Taylor Swift singing "We're Never Getting Back Together Again" ever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
You're fading out right now.
It's a good point by me. And they use Taylor Swift again because they're millennials, and that's what they do: memes and Taylor Swift.
Texas says squirrel, LMAO. Squirrel's amazing.
Squirrel Louis, won today.
Louis Rabeau's like, squirrel in that. What's the first guy's name? I can't even. Or the second guy's
Larry.
Name?
Larry.
Yeah, squirrel and 300 ounce of beer guy both vote in elections. Louis Rabeau. He's feisty lately.
He is feisty. What's going on with Louis?
He's battling Crean. There's something going. Yes, there is horse racing.
Oh, there is horse
Churchill's
racing.
Running right
yeah,
now.
Oh, well.
Right now.
There you go. Maybe he doesn't like the cold.
So what do we do with Ennis and specifically Ennis and Rutherford picking Kentucky to win and picking Kentucky to win by more than me?
I almost
picked Louisville, so they have them winning by more than me. How about that? What's going on?
Mark Ennis is a football guy.
He is a football guy.
He watches film. He does. He studies.
How about that?
And he understands the situation. He and Rutherford, unlike all these other L1C4 bums, can read the room and understand the situation. They know their team is inferior to Kentucky's team, and
right.
They did the right thing. They picked. I'm
you
sorry.
Need to, do you need some? Are you okay?
I'm good.
Is it
yeah.
the lap band?
No, it's not the lap band.
It's not the lap band.
It's just phlegm. It's just normal run of the mill.
Well, drink
phlegm.
Some of that Busch Light
well,
over there.
Well, it's all gone.
Oh no!
I got left these warm beers. You know, it's a tragedy.
We'll get you another one.
But
take a break for you.
No.
Do we need to take a break?
Do you need to take a break, Jack?
Do you need to refuel? No. Don't worry about Jack.
Oh,
we're worried about you.
But
we got like 4 minutes.
I'm good.
Jack, what are you doing tonight?
Yeah.
I am working LSL, and then I am...
Oh, so Nick's not doing that? That got pushed off to you. Really?
Yeah, that was the trade of Nick doing the show on Monday night. Or doing it the last hour Monday night. Ooh. That was the trade we made.
We tried to talk Ethan Moore out of that. Me and Pat did.
Oh, tries like, hey...
I mean, 5 hours of radio.
It's a night it's, before
no, no,
Thanksgiving.
No, it's also 5 hours of Ethan Moore.
Yeah, it's Ethan...
that's right.
Yeah. He's in for Mingus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Mingus made that pick, and he wasn't on the show today to defend it?
Well, I mean, we sent that pick in like 2 days ago.
I know, but it came out today.
That or last night, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's 11 hours ago, so yeah.
All right, well, I'm not that nice.
So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but anyways, I'm working that, and then I am maybe seeing family for a little bit, and then I'm going out tonight with friends.
Oh, you're hitting the bars.
Nice. Where are you going?
It's an internal battle between O'Shea's and Gerstle's.
Oh, go to Gerstle's.
Well,
don't listen to him.
Well, I don't care where we go. I just want to go. But my friends want to go to O'Shea's. My brother and his friends, we were all trying to go together, want to go to Gerstle's. And I'm just kind of in the middle. Like, I'll go wherever, guys. Just pick somewhere and let's go. Yes.
So stereotypical, those places, too.
They
it
are.
Is. Yeah. It's.
You got to introduce Ethan Grossman to Coop Hassan. Because he's going to be there.
I know.
You know he's going to be there.
Coop will be at Gerstle's tonight. There's
yes.
No doubt.
Yeah. No doubt in anyone's mind.
You don't even have to text him. You know that's going to be
he's
the case.
You show up and he's going to be working
or he's going to be wearing sweatpants.
Yep.
Coop found love and he would not talk to a young lady. I will not say
really?
Her name.
Oh, really?
He would not talk to her at the bar. She walked right by him. He would not say anything.
Oh, really? Well.
Little meek little mouse.
Wow,
little
he
meek,
was.
Meek little mouse.
And he had it in there.
That's what I said.
He said, hey, conversations.
That's what I said.
Conversation
that,
starter
that,
right there.
Exactly.
Come on, Coop.
How about that, though? How about John Hale? He picked Louisville. You got anything on that?
John Hale?
Roush said it was about the Jimmies and Joes.
I agree with that.
I had a friend who got mad about that.
Who,
Roush? And Joes?
Or
yeah.
Who, John
he
Hale?
Got, he got mad that he's a Louisville fan. He got mad that Roush picked Kentucky to win by so much. And
What are we doing here?
I mean, you have a buddy that's that dumb. I mean, you have a buddy that's so wrapped up in the rivalry he doesn't get what's
he
going on here.
Rivalry.
That would be me.
Yeah, what are we
like,
doing
that
here?
That would like be like me saying, I can't believe Blankenbaker picked Louisville to win by 3 touchdowns. Like, yeah, I expect that to happen. That's what Blankenbaker does. Your buddy's like a detached
He's
reality.
A good guy.
Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
We'll be the ones that decide that. Yeah. We'll be the ones that decide
so,
that.
So far,
well,
I'm not,
I appreciate
I'm not
the people that cross enemy lines. That means they're doing real analysis.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Me too.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
Have fun tonight. Yes. Let us know where you're going. Me and Streeble aren't doing anything.
Hell
so
no.
There you go. We're not doing anything. We're out of here today. Day off tomorrow, obviously. on Thursday, Thanksgiving, we'll have all the NFL action. And then Friday, we are working. We'll be on the air. See you Friday on The Take on ESPN 680.